right. It's my favorite time of the year, Sermon on a Stick. So I've got some. I'll pass them around. Just pick one out. Some of these are duplicates. There's probably, I think there's two of each one. I'll pick. I was going to hand you one. There you go. Go ahead and take it. Pass them back, if you will. Thank you. I told somebody I was doing Sermon on a Stick in celebration of State Fair, and they thought maybe I should do Communion on a Stick. I thought, wow, even that's too far for me. I don't know. But there are a great way I can just visualize a pretzel with a little piece of bread on it. Maybe next year, folks. And also maybe a Big Butter Jesus next year. Big Butter Jesus. So this is how we do Sermon on a Stick. You get to take this home with you, maybe put it on your refrigerator and think about it for a week. But if you would, be willing to just read it out loud, and you can comment on it, or I can comment on it, or we can just kind of think about it and ponder it. Anyone have one that's you'd like to read out loud? Yes. We come to God, pardon?
He didn't have a GPS.
He did not have a GPS. We come to God by love, not by navigation. And correct me if I'm wrong, I think that's St. Augustine.
Yes.
Yes. That's an interesting idea. We come to God by love, not by navigation. In other words, sometimes you can't plot it and plan it and design it, but you follow your heart's desire, and that's how you find God. Thank you. It's a good one. Anybody else? Okay. Yeah.
God comes to you disguised as your life.
Very good. And that's why most of us don't even recognize God, because we never think that God comes to us as our life. We always think God is out there somewhere, you know, in the thunder and the spectacular things. True, but sometimes it's in our own life activities where God is. Good one.
Your addiction, sweeter, complaint.
Quit your addiction to sneer and complaint. I'm listening for an amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yeah, they sneered and complained. No. I forget who said that. Is there a name on that?
Of course. James
Brofton. Oh, James Brofton, yeah. Yeah. Might have been. Might have been. Some of these, you know, I most of these I just have in my journal, or, you know, where I take notes or keep quotes and things like that. Just kind of go through it every year and come up with this Sermon on a Stick. And some of them I might have picked for the crowd I was thinking about, so. just saying. How did I know you were coming? I don't know.
The only thing to do with good advice is to pass it on.
Oh.
It's never any use to oneself.
Thank you. The only thing to do with good advice is to pass it on. It's never any good to oneself, right? Is that Oscar Wilde? Yeah. thus, Sermon on a Stick. Right? I'm not going to do all this stuff. I'm just going to pass it on to you to do. Yeah. That is kind of a sneer. It's kind of ironic that it files that one, because Oscar Wilde has a little bit of a satire to him, but it's good anyway.
At the heart of the universe is a great sigh of compassion.
Very nice. At the heart of the universe is a great sigh of compassion. Rowan Williams said that. Do you know who that is? He was the Archbishop of Canterbury fairly recently, head of the Church of England. Who were you pointing to? Be yourself, Some will be appreciative. Everyone else will be shocked. Yeah, that is true. There's another one. Does somebody have the Oscar Wilde one? Be yourself.
Be yourself. Everyone else is taken.
Everyone else is taken. That's one of my favorite Oscar Wilde quotes. Yeah. So we get two votes for being yourself. Two different ways to sort of think about that. But good wisdom. Yes, we must become who we say we are. That was I picked for the church in particular. We have to become who we say we are.
So prayer is not what we do, it's what we become. So we pray for God and we become God.
Thank you. Can we get an amen?
Amen.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, prayer is not what we say or what we do,
it is what we become.
We're
going to follow this
one. Okay.
Keep death always before your eyes.
Yeah, St. Benedict said, keep death always before your eyes. Why?
Live today.
Yeah. And the humility of, you know, knowing that we're all finite, you know, this this diagnosis in Lynn's family has really made all of us sort of think, wow, what if you had 2 years? And the doctor actually came out of surgery and said to the family, you know, if there's something you want to do, you need to do it now. If you want to go spend a week on a beach in Florida, you need to do it now. And really, that's, we should all live that way. Keep death always before your eyes.
You never know how quickly it will come.
Thank you. You never know. Quickly, it will come.
Giving up is not the same as letting go.
Thank you. Giving up is not the same as letting go. Anyone care to comment on that? Exactly. So in an argument, that's a good example. In an argument, you can give up or you can let it go. If you think about giving up, you quit, you just walk away, but you still stay mad. But letting go means just let it go. Yeah.
God granted a serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time. Accepting hardships as the pathway to peace, taking, as you did, the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it, trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will, that I may be reasonably happy in this life and supremely happy with you forever in the next.
Amen. Can I borrow that one? Christian gets the reward for being the longest one. It should be a sermon on two sticks. But I put this here. This is Reinhold Niebuhr. This is the long form of the Serenity Prayer. A lot of people know the Serenity Prayer. You know, grant me the serenity, the courage, the wisdom. But it goes on from there, and it's really quite interesting. And one of my connections to this summer, you know, I was on retreat at Elmhurst College, and Reinhold Niebuhr went to Elmhurst College. His brother was president of Elmhurst College later and after that. And there's a statue out front with him, and it has the short form of the Serenity Prayer. But there's some really good stuff in the long form of the Serenity Prayer that most people don't even know is there. Enjoying living one day at a time, enjoying one moment at a time. Accepting hardships as the pathway to peace. I really like that line. Accepting hardship as the pathway to peace. Taking as you did the sinful world as it is, not as I would have it. Trusting that you will make all things right if I surrender to your will. That I may be reasonably happy in this life. I love that as sort of an expectation. I'm going to be reasonably happy. I'm not going to expect that I'm going to be supremely happy, but I'll be reasonably happy in this life. and that I might be supremely happy with you in the next. I like that. The Serenity Prayer, Reinhold Niebuhr. All my life I've been an atheist from the neck down. Yeah. Where you stumble, there your treasure lies. Kind of the pathway to peace, the hardships are the pathway to peace. Yeah, that's Joseph Campbell. I think he was a big believer that, you know, it's in our personal struggles that we really find the treasures that are. Yeah.
You can selectively numb your feelings.
Yeah. This is Brené Brown. She does a lot with shame and addiction and things like that. You can't selectively numb your feelings. So if you're dealing with sadness and you don't want to be sad, you can't just pick the sadness. You numb everything. That's why a lot of people in recovery programs are dealing with trying to feel their feelings because they've spent so many years numbing everything. So you can't feel happy or joy or expectation or fear because you've numbed it all. If you've tried to numb one, you numb them all.
Hey, Paul, I wanted to hear what else you had to say about this.
Yeah, the atheist from the neck down. It says who said that upon meeting his wife. He said, I can't.
Walter Wink,
upon meeting his wife. So here's a guy who meets his wife, and she's an embodied Christian. You know, she moves in worship. She, you know, maybe she's a dancer. and he realizes that for him, faith his whole life has been about, in his head, about believing things and knowing things. But that to be an embodied Christian, you think about the faith that we have is incarnation, that the Word became flesh and lived among us. That being Christian from the neck down means knowing what our bodies are here for and how we can be, you know, enfleshed. Does that make some sense? Yeah. Worship, you know, is a great example of that. Most worship happens in the head. And when we try to get people's bodies involved, sometimes they love it. Like, man, I really loved that service today. We got to clap and we were dancing. And it's like, ooh, I was not comfortable with that. Yeah,
it's also ADHD.
Okay. Yeah, so you've probably met people who let their faith show, you know, out of every pore of their body. That's a good thing. Okay. Take those home. One more, Linda. Yeah, this is interesting. Grace is getting what you don't deserve, and mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Kind of interesting. I'm not a big fan of of this sort of system of retribution and punishment and rewards in terms of that's how God works. And I think the point of that is that this is not how God works either. You don't get to earn things, and you don't get punished for things you did. But there's mercy, and there's grace. These are the ways that God operates. Mercy not giving you what you do deserve, and grace giving you what you don't deserve or haven't earned. One more? Yes, sir.
Confusion is the welcome of mat at the door of creativity.
Confusion is the welcome mat of creativity. If you've ever seen an artist's studio or the kitchen where somebody is creating a masterpiece, you probably can see, what is this confusion and how can you ever do anything here? But it's the welcome mat of creativity. All right. Well, thank you for playing Sermon on a Stick. If you got one you don't like and you want a different one, we can trade them later, okay?